bringing out some things that will be a little controversy. You can decide for yourself what you think about it. It'll be your choice. But I know what I believe, and if you want to be right, I think you'll be on my side. I'll just be up front with you because I have prayed and studied and prayed and studied and prayed and studied about this lesson. And it's been exciting, and it's been a challenge to me to really study all of this. Now, there's a few things I want to bring out before we get into Genesis. Now, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and go to Genesis chapter 4 and chapter 6. And we'll get over there in just a minute. And I want you to kind of be prepared about this. But we have started off in Timothy, and we brought out a lot of different meanings last time we talked about what these words actually meant. And there's a few more I want to bring out before I go over to Genesis, because I didn't quite get through with the last lesson. Now, number one is without natural affection. Day and age that we look in, you see more of this than any other time in history. It's simply a lack of feeling for other people. It's always thinking about self. People are more selfish and self-centered today than they ever have been. It's all about me. It's not about anybody else. Natural affection. We have lost a lot of natural affection, even in churches, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Next of all is truce breakers. Now, as you well know, it's hard for people this day and age to keep their word, especially in politics. You always say politics, they lie. They'll tell you one thing and do right the opposite. But not only that, when you give your word to somebody, you need to stand by it. And stand by your word. Now, I know and realize, and before we go any further with that, I want you to realize sometimes things happen that we can't. But you can always call the person and let them know why you can't. And so things happen that comes up that are like that. And I'm not saying that it's possible to keep your word 100% of the time, because it's not. I might tell you I'm coming to see you next week. Well, I might get sick. I might die. There's a lot of things, a reason why you can't, and I'm just kind of bringing this out. But anyway, in the last days of our society, we see more truce breakers than ever. Well, for an example, people that has contracts. Companies break their contract. Football players break their contract. They just don't live up to what they sign. They just don't live up to what they do. But Ephesians 4 and 25, the Bible says, "Wherefore put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Proverbs 12 and 19, the Bible says, "The lips of truth shall be established, but a lying tongue is but a fierce moment." People this day is fierce in the time that we live in. They're savage, untamed. Murder, torture, kill at random. And as you know, we've had that this week in a workplace in Virginia. Just walked in, just killed a bunch of people because he wanted to. Just kill at random. This is the day and age you and I live in. This is day you and age that you and I are going to have to face up as a Christian and stand strong as a Christian. And I want to bring out something about Noah and different things that has a lot to do with this. But there's a little word in Romans chapter 1, verse 29, and I want to bring it out to you. It's called malignity. Now, this little word has a meaning that kind of has fascinated me with this lesson. And malignity, I think of malignant, and you think of cancer when you are talking about malignant. But now, malignity is, in a sense, just like cancer. This word, actually, what it actually means is a very strong desire to harm others. So when a person has cancer, for an example, it has a very strong desire to harm that person. It has a strong desire to kill it, to kill that person, have great malice against that person. Cancer is something else. But also cancer, malignity, and cancer has a root to it, and it's called sin. And if you look at it, malignity is a sin. It's a little word that wants to hurt everybody that it possibly can. But also, cancer has all kind of roots in it, as I look at this in a spiritual sense, like a root of bitterness, a root of fear, a root of all kind of things. And you can't get rid of it within yourself. Have you ever thought about it? It takes the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul made a statement, I think in Romans chapter 7, who will deliver me from this creature that I actually really am? And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. When a person also has addiction, I'll be honest with you, I had addiction to cigarette for years and years. Finally, the good Lord dealt with me about that, talked to me about that, took it away from me, even though I fought Him, didn't want to do it, because I knew what I was going to have to go through physically. But He took it, and I hadn't smoked none since. The Lord can do these things for anybody and everybody because He is no respecter of person. But also, you're going to see this little word, malignity, as we get in over there in Genesis. Now, there's something else I want to bring out here in just a little bit. And before we get into that, now, as we get into Genesis, I want you to take a good look at a degenerative world and answer to why the days of Noah, and it did not take sin so long to spread in the days of Noah. Now, to the time of the flood from Adam, from day one, to the time of the flood was 1656 years. That's a short period of time. And if you ever really study this lesson, you're going to need to study genealogy. Adam lived 900 and something years. And I'm amazed at how close he come even to the flood. A short period of time. And I'm amazed how sin spread so quickly in such a short period of time. Just as in our day and age that you and I live in. For an example, when I grew up, compared to now, my life was simple. We didn't have murders on every hand. We didn't have people killing at random. Matter of fact, you could take we had our rifles in our truck, go to school. Always had a pocket knife. We have to have police out here now to protect us. So just in a short period of time, America and the whole world has come with this little word, malignantly. Cancer or sin has spread everywhere. But the bottom line is, actually, we're born with that. It's born in us. And the only one that can help us with it is the Lord Jesus Christ. To control it, we can be free from it. To a certain degree. Now, we're all going to sin, but our sin has been forgiven. But as I look at this, the general world, don't you stop and think about it. In Noah's day, the world was still practically new. And when God created it, it was pure. It was good. God said it was good. But it didn't take long for it to really go to pot, as the old saying goes. But now, the world is old. Sin is contaminated by wickedness and woe, and the unity of society is favorable to spread sin everywhere now. It's growing faster and faster and faster, and it doesn't seem like we can stop it. But God can stop it. And it's up to us to pray and beseech Him and let our lives set an example for other people to see. Now, not only that, as we look at this, there's something else I want to add real quick, and then I'm going to get into a lesson. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, you're going to see the term, the sons of God. Okay? And it's a very controversial statement, the sons of God. Who are these sons of God? Who are they? What's the purpose of them? all of this. And why did God write in the Bible to look at the days of Noah at the coming of Son of Man? Now, I'm amazed that when I got to studying this, as we look back at this, how it's so parallel, the world we live in today, and the church is parallel to Genesis here, just like it. And it just has fascinated me of studying this lesson. But in order to interpret the Bible, there's some things that people need to do, including me and everybody else. First of all, you know, there's all different type denominations. Now, I'll just tell you real quick, somebody's right and somebody's wrong. There's no way around it. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong. They didn't interpret this Bible correctly. Okay? Now, the original purpose of the Bible, when you study it, is to consider and to take in consideration all verses that are related to what you're studying to. Okay? You can't just take one verse and twist it and turn it the way you want it. You can't do that. But also there's context in the verse that you're studying. And what is all about it. But most of all, here's what you need to do. This is what I do. And I don't mind telling you, I'm not perfect at studying. I'm not perfect at knowing this book. I wish I knew. I don't know enough. I don't care. I can't learn enough. It's just too big for me. I don't mind telling you. But what I do, I begin with prayer when I start a lesson. Always. I pray every day as I study. And I have to. I don't have a choice. But not only that, I have to read the Bible. Not only that, I have to study the Bible. Not only that, I have to meditate on the Word that I am studying and going to teach. Then I have books and commentaries and scholars and that I go to and read and reread and different ones that has different opinions on different things. But most of all, I have to be led by the Spirit of God. And I have to have that clear conscience in me, knowing what God wants me to even teach. It's like the preacher, for an example, on Sunday morning. He's got a message. God gave him a message to give to the people. Well, the way I look at it when I teach, I want to know what God wants me to teach. Period. That's it. It's all about Him. It ain't about me. Matter of fact, I've said it and I'll say it one more time before I get in a lesson. God don't need me. He don't need me to teach. He don't have to have me. It's the other way around. I have to have Him. And it's just a blessing that He allows me to do that, to teach His Word. And especially just an old country boy. And I've just always been kind of amazed that He allowed me to do that. And I'm grateful to Him about that. Okay, Genesis chapter 4. I kind of want to set a precedent here in verse 26. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. Now, up above these verses, you're going to see the line of Cain, the ungodly line that has come to be, the ungodly line of Cain. All of this also you're going to see if you study the genealogy here. He had one that committed murder after Cain had committed murder. A few years later, this guy committed murder too. Also, you're going to find where they took to them more than one wife. They started this, which was wrong. It wasn't God's intended to have man to have a bunch of wives. One wife. But verse 26 starts the godly line. I want you to take a look at this. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos, then begat man to call upon the name of the Lord. Alright, you have a godly line and you have an ungodly line. You've got two lines of people. Alright, today in age that you live in, we have two lines of people. You have a godly line or a Christian, and then you have ungodly people that don't have anything to do with God. And it's the same today as it was then. And this is what I'm trying to bring out through all this lesson, is a parallel to Noah's time and our time as we look at this. Also, I want you to take notice just for a little bit, and I'll move on. I'm kind of got ahead of myself just a second, but when Noah lived in his time, remember, he preached. Now, I want you to think about this just for a second. Noah didn't have the church to back him up. He lived in a total ungodly world, just him and his family. But yet, Noah let his light shine brightly, constantly. You and I, as a Christian, to be Christ-like, we have to let our light shine in an ungodly and a perverse world that you and I live in. People are going to read you. You're an epistle. Your light has to shine out in this perverse generation that we live in this day and age. It has to do that. You have to be strong. It's not any different, for an example, when your children go to school. If they live godly, they will be ostracized and set aside. So will you in the day and age you and I live in. You're going to have to handle it. You're going to have to put on your big boy britches and grow up. But not only that, Noah had children during that time. Can you imagine the job he had trying to raise his children in a total perverse world? Well, let me ask you a question. How hard is it today to raise children? Oh, yeah. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, it's amazing how all this takes place. Now, as we look at this, let's go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. As we look at this, now it's definitely here. Alright. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them. Now I want to bring out something here just about this just for a second. They had a population explosion at that particular time. The ungodly and the godly was multiplying and expanding. It's the same today. But the ungodly was expanding a lot more than the godly. Not any different now as it was then. Hell enlarges itself every day. Nowhere in the Bible do I see where heaven is enlarging itself. But as you well know, it's harder to find true believing Christians today than it ever has been. Now, as we look at this, the population explosion, look how much population has exploded in our day and age. When I grew up out there at Hollis Crossroads, I could drive to Anniston, Alabama, and never meet a soul. Now I can't even get out on Highway 9 without sitting there 5 minutes half the time. Problems. Back then, I might have heard something in California that was bad. I got drug people lives across the highway. In the day and age that we live, I'm just amazed at the population explosion. Alright, one reason that God wants us to look at the days of Noah. Now you think about this. When you get into population, how fast does sin grow? More people you got, the more sin you got. Population explosion. Same thing happened in Noah. That's just one reason God wants us to look at this and take a look at this. The same is in our day and age. Population explosion. Big cities, little cities, but it don't matter now. You live out in the country, you still got problems. When I grew up, we never locked a door. Never worried about people coming in. Now I don't even go down the road without a gun in the car. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. I don't do it. You can't afford not to do it. It's just amazing how the same that it is as in the days of Noah, how parallel this is. Now, the term sons of God, as we look at this, to me, is the line of Seth. It is a godly line. It is not angels. The controversy through a lot of scholars, and they believe they're angels that went down to the daughters. Nowhere in this book that I'm studying right now, in Genesis, is one word of angels whatsoever. None. Zip. You start over here, and in Genesis here, verse 1 talks about men. Verse 2 talks about men. Verse 3 talks about men. Verse 4, talking about men. You remember the context, what I said when you're studying? He's talking about men. He's not talking about angels. Now, as I look at this, I'm amazed at this, how that the sons of God, how people can, I don't see how they can say that they're angels, because angels, according to the Bible, does not marry or remarry or have anything to do with marriage whatsoever. None. Zip. To keep it in context, as we look at this day and age we live in, sin has rapidly went, for an example, there's more child molesters, there's more rapes, TV, a world in which marriage is totally abused completely. Now, I'm not going to get on marriage and fuss on somebody that's divorced. It's in my family. I know where can I say something when some of my kids are divorced, have been divorced. Can't do it. But as we look at this, I'm imagining as the whole context deals with man, how godly and what's taking place. If you got your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 17. As we are comparing this, verse 26, Luke 17, verse 26. Now I want you to take a look at this real closely. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man, which is Christ Jesus. And as it was in the days, well, they did eat, they drank, they married what? Wives. In other words, more than one, but also, from the scholars, they married several times. Now, I got a friend of mine that's a Christian, and he is a Christian, and I know he is, but he's been married 3 times. I've never fussed on him, never griped to him about it. I never told him he was wrong. I still love my brother, but he'll tell you real quick, he's the one that messed up. He's one, but he lives for God. He really does. He does everything he can to live a godly life. But everybody messes up. Me, you, it don't matter who it is at one point or another in your life as a Christian. And I'm not getting on marriage, and I want you to know that. That's not my place. But what I'm trying to get us to see is what they done and how our world is. And it's just amazing at this as we take a real good look at this. Now, they done this until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came, destroyed them all. But now I want you to look at something else. Verse 28. Now this is what I've never seen before. Kind of amazing. Likewise, also, as it is the days of Lot, now this is, boy, that caught my attention. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Have you ever seen such homosexuality in our world today? They're unashamed, unabashed, as it was in the days of Noah, even as the days of Lot. Likewise, that just fascinated me. I'd never seen that before. How that the world you and I live in, you know, you need to be looking up. Our Redeemer's drawing nigh. And the Bible wants us to be looking up. God tells us to be looking up. But the problem is, how many of you really believe that the Lord was going to come back today? Is it tomorrow? Have you ever thought tomorrow never comes? Always today. He's going to come. Someday. I don't know when. All I know, time is drawing nigh for you and I to let our light shine, to stand strong in a perverse world that we live in. And the good Lord is really trying to get our undivided attention, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be at the coming of Son of Man. Now go back to Genesis chapter 6. There's something else I want to bring out about in chapter 2. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives, all that they have chosen. First of all, you remember the little word malignant? Malignity, malignant. What did that verse say? The sons of God. Now, this is the godly people, the godly line. This is the church, if you want to look at it in spiritually that sense. Saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair. You know, it's a shame that people, or they looked upon the beauty instead of what was on the inside of the person. They just wanted to date the ones that were married, the ones that was beautiful. That was their criteria for picking a mate. You know, when we raise our children, the Bible has a lot to say to us as we raise our children. I've done everything I could to raise mine right once I got right. Now before then, I'll be honest with you, I set a bad example. I was a full-fledged heathen. I don't mind telling you, I was. I'm ashamed of it, but I was. And I'm amazed at this, how that the world today does the same thing. We all want the beauty, but never the inside of a person, how good they actually are. It's just something else. You know, malignity or malignant has the root of lust in it. Take our country today. You go to TV, no matter where you go, there's sex on it. Sex is being pushed to eight commercials on every hand. I never will forget when I first got right with the good Lord's old preacher. His name was Wallace. And he preached against TV in this church that I was going to. And everybody just laughed. Why is he preaching against TV? There's nothing wrong with TV. He made a statement, though, that stuck with me. He said, why reach down and a bunch of rotten apples to try to find one? That stuck with me. I still kind of grinned and laughed, and I ain't getting rid of my TV. But you know, he was right. He was right. TV has corrupted our country and Hollywood more than any other thing. Nancy and I, sometimes we'll go to a movie every once, especially when we're going, about the only time we ever go to a movie. We'll go on vacation or go camping, we'll say, well, let's go watch a movie. And there's a lot of times we went in, and here they start to cussing. I get up and walk out. And I say, sorry, Lord, I wasted your money. I ain't going to sit there and listen to it. I've done enough of that. Well, I didn't do a whole lot of cussing even when I was a heathen. That's something I didn't do, but I was around a lot of it. But I don't want to hear it now. I don't enjoy hearing it. I really don't. Doesn't help me at all. But the sons of God, I'm amazed at this as we look at them as Definitely the term sons of God has a lot to do with you and I. All throughout the Scripture, the term sons of God definitely refers to believers. Now, I know about Lot and the angels that the Lord sent down at Lot. They took on the form of men that got them out. But He's not talking about that here. Now, the Scripture tells us throughout the Scripture, Deuteronomy 32 and 5, talks about the term sons of God. Psalms 73, verse 15. Psalms 80, verse 17. Hosea 1 and 10. Hebrews, God's son. But let me ask you a question. Were you adopted into the family of God? When you were born again? When you are, guess what you are? You're the sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been birthed into the family. You have been adopted in. We are the sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're His children. We're His bride. We have a lot of names, but we're one of them. Now, at the death of Adam, here's where the term sons of God comes from. At the death of Adam, Seth took his sons, their wives, to a high mountain called Hermon. And on top of which Adam was buried, and the sons of God, the godly line, lived on the mountain. Cain and his descendants lived down in the valley. Now, I want you to look at the parallel of Lot. When Lot left Abraham, where did he go? Down. What happened to Lot? He vexed what? He vexed his soul. But God still got him out. But now I want you to look at these sons of God here, what happened to them. Now, Cain's daughters was very fair. The godly line of people went down. You always go down when sin takes hold. And I'm amazed at this, just as the church today, when the church sins and the church messes up, it's going to go down. Now, how many churches, Nancy and I went camping a couple of weeks ago, and was riding around in a little bug, and there was a church out in every cow pasture just about. Why? How many churches are from here to within a 5-mile radius? How many churches in a 5-mile, just 5-mile radius that way? Why? Divisions, backbite, gossip, talking, the root of malignity, to do harm, severe harm. And when a church splits up, I've been in churches that split, it hurts everybody. What's wrong with God's people? The problem is, they don't do the will of God. Somebody's right. Somebody's wrong. There's no gray area when it comes to this book. Either you're doing the will of God or you're not. Either you're doing the work of God as Noah did or you're not. God's got to work for every one of you. He's got to work for me. He's got to work for you. As in the days of Noah, as they went down through each generation up to 1656 years when they started down, look at the sin that crept in. This is what's happening today, just in the last, say, 100 years. How far advanced sin has taken over in America, in the world, not only in our country, but in this whole world that we're in. When people multiply, sin expands greatly. As in the days of Noah, it's not any different. In the last days, the Bible says there will be a great falling away from the church. Now, let me ask you another question. And you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's set aside. Now, there are times, you take a vacation. Nothing wrong with that. Take some time. But also, on the other hand, don't put sports ahead of God. Don't put fishing ahead of God. Don't put hunting ahead of God. Sunday is the Lord's Day, set aside for you and I to come and worship Him. Not only that, it's set aside to bring people in to hear the Word of God, to get saved. But not only that, as we look at this, it just has amazed me. It's mind-boggling of what all has taken place and what all is going on here. As in the days of Noah and also in the days of Lot. Now, but also at the end, well, let's go to verse 3. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. All right? God gave them a warning how long it was going to be when judgment was coming. Now, how many times have we heard the Lord is coming? What does people say about that? What does the world say about the Lord coming? Huh? Got your Bibles? Go to 1 Peter chapter, and then you'll need to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. We'll read some there too. 1 Peter 3 and 20 says, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. Now, there's something else I want to bring out about God's long suffering. Noah was the only one that preached. Did you know that? What do you think Adam did all them years? What do you think Enoch did? If you go to Jude, verses 13 and 14, you're going to find that Enoch preached to them. He's preaching going all over the world today. That's another thing that's taking place today as in the days of Noah also. But 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, look at this. Knowing this, first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, what? Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from what? The beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed, the water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved what? Unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Even the church don't think God's coming. That's sad, ain't it? When you stop and think about it, it's kind of sad. We're not looking for it. We know it's coming. You know, if we really knew that God was going to come tomorrow, what would you do? Who would you go see? Who would you talk to try to keep them out of hell? What would you do? You know, we should live every day just like the Lord is coming. No way around it. And I'm going to have to stop there, and we're going to pick up.